Turn in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, one verse, verse 13. Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. This is a fabulous verse of Scripture. Of course, it's in a context. It's in the context of Paul talking about being content, whether he is abased or whether he abounds, whether he's full or whether he's hungry, whether he abounds or whether he suffers need. But the verse has a broad application to us. Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. The Bible says in Philippians 4, 13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. That's a fabulous verse of Scripture. It's also a challenging verse of Scripture. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, I ask you please, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, help us by your power to get to the subject at hand and preach it, Father, clearly, succinctly, understandably, profoundly. I pray, Heavenly Father, that our lives will be encouraged, challenged, and improved and edified by the words of God. Lord, our Heavenly Father, we ask you please to glorify yourself in all that's done here. We pray, Father, that these words will be magnified and that when we leave here and continue on constantly, the Holy Spirit is able to remind us of the things that we are learning today. Father, we also pray for Kevin Congrove up at Walla Walla, Washington at the Heritage Baptist Church. Fill him with your Holy Spirit today, Father. May he preach with power in his pulpit. May lives be changed. Now I pray for Tony preaching now to the children in Junior's Church and what's going on with the toddlers and in the nursery. I pray, Heavenly Father, you'll fill them with your Holy Spirit and cause great life-changing things to be spoken from the words of God today, for we ask you to do it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. He says here, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. When you look at that verse of Scripture and then you compare our lives as Christians today and what it is that we are doing and what it is that we're not doing, you know, you look at that verse of Scripture and you think, now what was he talking about? And how do we apply this in our lives? And in my life, when I think about this, I think to myself, you know, I believe there's probably more that the Lord wants me doing, and I haven't gotten it done for whatever reason, but partly due because, to the things that are covered in the subject matter of this verse. And so if we look at it that way, there are things that God would have us to do as a church, things that God would have us to do in our families, things that God would have us to do individually, that aren't getting done, and part of the reason is that we are not following what God has shown us in this verse of Scripture. For instance, one of the reasons that we don't get more done in our lives for the Lord is has to do with the first two words right there, where he says, I can. In other words, what happens is we talk ourselves out of it, and we say, I can't do that. I can't do that. And when we do that, what happens is, and I don't know if it's like this in your life, but I had to really battle with this in my life. When I was a kid and I was given a responsibility that I did not want to do, I agreed to it, and then immediately before I even left the room, I was beginning already to come up with the excuses that I was going to give when I didn't get it done or why it didn't happen. Some of you are nodding and some of you are smiling. You kind of grew up like I did. I had to train myself out of that excuses weren't going to be acceptable. I had to go on with it. But he says here, I can. I can. And you know, honestly, the Bible is both positive and negative, and that balance really helps us. When it concerns sin, it's good for us to have a very negative attitude and not like Eve, who fell for the very positive attitude, have a very negative attitude about those things and realize, man, those are things we don't want to do. When it comes to things that God wants us to do, it's good for us to have a very positive attitude and realize, listen, if this is something that God has given for me to do, I can do it. I may not want to do it. Paul said when he was talking about preaching the gospel, he said, necessity is laid upon me. Woe unto me if I preach not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said there's a dispensation. He had a stewardship. Whether he wanted to do it or not, he had to do it. And he tells you now, he said, and I can do it. You know that old saying that the little train did, I think I can, I think I can, I think I can. He didn't say, I think I can. It's not a matter of I think I can, it's a matter of I can. I can. And so what we have to do is we've got to get out of this mentality that allows us to talk ourselves out of something before we ever lift a finger and try it. You say, well, you don't know my schedule, you don't know my family situation, you don't know my finances, you don't know my whatever. But God does. And if there's something that God wants you to be doing, you can do it. You really can. And that attitude needs to be pervasive. It's what's part of the willingness of being a faithful servant of God. I can if you want me to do it. I can. Another thing that's wrong and that you see here in the verse is he said I can. Well, look at that. The next little word. it's the only other two letter word in the passage. What does he say? I can do. One reason we don't get more done is that we talk ourselves out of it. Another reason we don't get more done is we don't get going. I don't know about you, but I have some people that I've been praying for a long time. And you know, we'll have people in here on Wednesday night and they'll say, pray for so-and-so or pray for my family or whatever like that. But you know what? How much time have you spent doing something about that thing you've been praying for? I have to ask myself the same question. I've got some people I've been praying for a long time, and I haven't gone back and opened the Bible up and said, by the way, you know, am I waiting on God to send somebody else? How about you? You know what he says? He says, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. If something's going to get done and God has somebody in here to do it, you've got to get going on it. And ultimately, when we don't do something about it, it's usually because we don't want to do something about it. Listen to this. If I say I can't, I won't. Isn't that true? If I say I can, no, I might. If I say I do, I will. There has to be some footsteps with the prayers. You know, I told you a kind of a rude story about a woman that went to go spend an evening with her friend. Two women that had been friends for many, many years, and before they went to bed, one woman said to the other, says, I want you to see something here. She opened up the curtains of her little apartment, looked across the street, and she said, what do you see over there? She said, well, I see a red light. She said, that's right, that's a house of ill repute. And I've been praying for 5 years that God would burn that house down. It doesn't have any business being across the street from my apartment. So when you go to bed tonight, I want you to pray that God will burn that place down. She said, all right. Next morning, lady gets up, opens up, and she is amazed. That place is burned to the ground. She starts calling for her friend, Mabel, come here. Mabel, come here. You've got to see this. And she comes in there kind of a little tired and said, yes. Said, look. Look what happened. And she said, well, praise the Lord. He answered our prayers. He burned that house down. Praise God. Then her friend got upset. She said, now you know something? I've been praying for 5 years that God would burn that house down, and he never did it. You came over here one night, prayed, and that house got burned down. What do you have on God that I don't have? She said, oh, honey. She said, sometimes you just have to put some footsteps with your prayers. And you know something? That we got to do something about what we've been praying. You're in your family, you say, Lord, please help us correct our family finances. Why don't you budget and limit your expenses? That would help instead of always praying like our government that God will give you more money. to keep living at the lifestyle that you can no longer afford to live at. Isn't that right? You say, well, I sure wish my neighbor would get saved. I want you to pray about my neighbor getting saved. Why don't you go over there with an open Bible while I'm praying and talk to him about Jesus and see if he won't get saved? See, that's the thing. What happens in the ministry is it's not just a matter of you showing up, me preaching, you feeling good about what you heard, being a little bit challenged, a little bit, you know, polish the toe marks off your boots there where you got stepped on a little, and going home to think about it till next week. Hey, do something about it. You've been praying with me that God would help us finish that building? Amen. Yeah, do something about it. Say, well, I only have $5. Well, why is it still in your pocket? You know, there are some people, and I think they're going to be giving about $25 a week or a month, whatever, for years to that. But you know something? That all adds up, and that's all in there. Every little bit helps. I'm interested in finishing that building. You got $10,000 in there? How about that thing we're going to do on January the 20th? You know, that's a special service to invite lost people here to be able to hear the gospel. You're going to be praying that some lost people, I hope, come here to hear the gospel. Are you going to invite somebody? You say, well, I couldn't do that. Well, Jesus said you can. I can do. You say, well, I'm not sure they'd come. You can be sure for sure they're not going to come if you don't ask them. And if you do ask them, they might come. And if you ask them more than once and even offer them a ride if they need that or some other kind of an encouragement like a meal afterwards, they may be here. You say, we've got a sign-up sheet to work a booth. Oh, I couldn't do that. I wouldn't know what to do. And guess what? You won't, because you already said you can't. But you say, I can, if that's something God wants me to do, then sign up. And not only that, but be there. You know, there were some people, I think, that signed up last year that didn't come. What happened? They talked themselves out of it. It's okay to be quiet. I understand what's happening. You can be in the drama. You can sing a special. You can pray effectually. You can open a Bible and show someone how to receive Christ. You can pass out Bibles in the fishers of men in your neighborhood. You can be faithful to attend another service. You can wait for the right person in order to be married. You can go to the mission field. You can go into the ministry full time. But you're going to have to get up and do something about it. You know that I never would have gone off to school with my wife to train for the ministry if we'd been praying about it till now? Eventually, we had to go up and do something. And God's blessed that. All right, the reason we don't get more done is, first of all, we talk ourselves out of it. God said, don't do that. You can. And then we don't get going, and God says, good, do. I can do. And then the next thing is, he says, I can do all things. You know what happens to us is we limit our scope. We limit our scope. We say, I can do some things, but I can't do all things. Listen, if there is something that God wants you to do, then there is a way for you to get that done. I mean, you don't need to pray about it anymore. You don't need to talk about it anymore. You don't need to think about it anymore. You just need to go do it, and whatever it is, you can do it. Do you honestly think that when Maureen said she was going to marry a plumber, a preacher, and the person she married was a plumber, that that plumber had any concept that he would be in consideration to be a pastor?
I know he didn't.
I know he didn't. You say, well, how is that possible? Listen, you do anything God wants you to do. I don't know if I wrote this down, but I read this just the other day. And let me see if I can... Oh, you know where it is. It's in Job. Here's what Job said to the Lord. I know that thou canst do everything. And if he needs you to be the footsteps to get that done, you can do all things. You can do all things. You do not have to limit the scope to your element of strength. You know, what happens to us sometimes is we think, okay, well, I can do these things because that's what I'm really cut out for. And, you know, honestly, that's the best place to see people used in various aspects of the Lord's work. But there's also an age of maturity where you start working on your weaknesses, and those things become areas where you can actually do something better than you thought you could before. Right? You think Mary Beth thought that Brian would ever be able to preach? She's keeping her mouth shut. She just did this. Not me. I'm not saying anything. Brian's a testimony that God can do all things through you. Yeah, that's right. Don't limit the scope. Whatever it is that God wants, that he wants you to do, you can do it. And then he says this, I can do all things through Christ. You know why we don't get some of the things done that we or don't do more than we do? Because we don't rely upon the power that's within us. We don't rely upon the power that's within us. And the power that is within you is the resident power of the Lord Jesus Christ. And do you know what he said before he left this earth? He said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Now, how much limited is Jesus Christ? He has no limitation if he says he has all power in heaven and in earth. You have inside of you a person who rose from the dead. You know what Paul said? That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings being made conformable unto his death. Do you realize that the power that was in the Lord Jesus Christ that allowed him to raise from the dead is a power that's inside of you now? What are you doing with that power? You are a race car with a Hemi. What is a Hemi? Is that right? Okay. Good enough, all right? And you're driving around like a grandma. You know, that's not true of the pastor's wife. She's driving a six-cylinder like she's got a Hemi. We hit that little stretch of 44 like that, and she can pass three of you in a half mile and still make the turn at Rand Morgan before you get there. She did learn she can do that by Christ. That's why she got that bumper sticker on the bumper of her car. It says, safety is of the Lord. She needs that. Imagine what would happen to us in our lives and in our church if we simply relied upon Jesus Christ in us to do what he wants to do. Amazing. He said, when he talked to his disciples, he said, greater works than these shall you do. And he was talking about the stuff that he did. Have you ever seen that in your life? Well, if there's not a call for it in your life, then there wouldn't be. But being born again is a pretty great thing. And if he was able to give you a new birth and change you into a new creature, just imagine what he could do if you just let him have the reins and run it a while the way he wants to run it. Paul said to these folks, he said, don't you think that it's old Paul who's able to endure all these afflictions and handle all this stuff? Paul simply signed up and said, okay, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? That's what happened in Acts chapter 9 on the road to Damascus. And then he went after it. I don't think he had any idea he'd be planting churches all over Asia and training men in the ministry that would survive him after he was killed and would write scripture about which you and I are preaching today. We wouldn't have all this New Testament stuff that we preach in Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 14 books of the New Testament if it hadn't been for Paul the Apostle. How'd he get all that done? He didn't do that, and that's what he's telling you. I didn't have the ability to survive beaten three times and whipped five times and imprisoned and shipwrecked and go through all those perils. That was Jesus Christ in me. But boy, wouldn't you like to have that testimony? Listen, we don't get more done because we don't rely upon that resident power of Jesus Christ in us. And then one other thing he says here, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. We still try to do too much ourselves. We still try to do too much ourselves. Now, I know you've got to take care of your thing, but listen, didn't he say this? Trust in the Lord and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. We want to sit down and understand it. We want to have it all laid out for us to say, Lord, okay, if this is something you want me to do in my life, you want to turn the page and you want to see how he's going to pay for it and how he's going to supply you with the time. You want to look at all that. See, he said, you know what? He said, I'm better off when you're weak, that's what he said, than when you're strong. Paul had a thorn in the flesh, and he prayed to the Lord, and he said, I want you to get rid of the thorn. And three times the Lord said, my grace is sufficient for thee. And then Paul said, I glory in my infirmities. He said, well, I've noticed something. He said, when I've got necessities and persecutions and infirmities and distresses and reproaches, he said, that's when things go well. Why? Because the strength of the Lord is made perfect in my weakness. Do you understand what's going on here? What's going on here is that God gets into a place in your life where you are too weak to be able to do something, but he comes along in your weakness and provides you with the strength you don't have, and now you can get it done. And if you were so strong that you didn't need him, he wouldn't be able to get the thing done. In other words, you need to look at that and go, I don't understand this. This isn't my ambition. That wasn't my plan. And he's like, that's right, that's right. You're exactly right. It's my plan. And then once we get to the point where we can say, it's not the Lord can do all things through me, but that I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me, then I realize, you know what? I'm okay being small. I'm okay being incapable. Didn't he say that he's chosen the base things of this world? Didn't he say that he's chosen the foolish things of this world? Didn't he say in 1 Corinthians that he's chosen the weak things of this world? You don't have to size it up and look in your life and say, oh, I'm the man. As a matter of fact, when you do that, that's when you usually get in trouble. Oh, yeah, I'm capable of doing this. Yeah, man, I got this whole thing. I can work all this out myself. You're fixing to go down, face down. And just remember, when you get down there, don't stay there. A righteous man falls seven times. Getteth up again. Riseth up again. Get up. But you got to remember, it's not our strength, it's his strength. You got to remember that it's our weakness, it's his strength. Let's just consider some things. Wasn't Jehoshaphat severely outnumbered when he was attacked by three armies? I mean, the people of Ammon and then the Edomites and the Moabites? And as Tony says, the termites? He was severely, severely outnumbered. And so what did he do? He didn't say, I can't do this, which is what we would do. He didn't turn tail and run. He went straight to the Lord and he said, hey, we don't have the capacity. We can't do this. And the Lord said, don't worry about it. I'll fight this battle. And they won without ever using a sword or a spear or an arrow or an engine of any sort. God did it. All right, imagine yourself like David. You know what? David comes to that scene, and there's all of Israel, and they're stuck down in those trenches, right? And they've been there for 40 days. David said, what's going on around here? He said, well, the big man comes out, and he says, you know, come out here and attack me, and if you win, then we'll be your servants, and if we win, y'all be our servants. And nobody's attacked. Nobody's taking him up on the attack yet. Where is this big? Well, there he is right there. Oh, right, look at that. That's nothing. He just got a helmet and, you know, he's just big. So it's all he's got. We got God. Isn't that amazing? Now, all those guys, you know what? Those Israelites are like us. Have you ever felt like you're just stuck in the trench? Oh, God, please get us out of here. I wish you'd kill Goliath and get that man out of my life. I propose when I wake up in the morning, he'll be dead. Because you said the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Wake up in the morning. There he is again. Are you listening to us? What's going on with you up there, God? You don't hear our prayers. We've been praying like this for 40 days. You know what they said? I can't. You know what they said? We're not going to do anything about this. We're going to pray and get you to do something about it. We're not going to rely upon God's power in Christ. You know, we're looking at this thing and we're saying, no, we can do a lot of things. We can't beat that guy. You see what the problem is? That's how we are in our prayer lives. I'm going to stay down here in this trench. All right, tomorrow we're just going to fast and pray harder. Oh, God! And nothing against fasting and nothing against praying and nothing against earnestness before God. But at some point in time, we got to get up, put our boots on, and go do it. Somebody's got to do it. So David came in there and said, okay, I'll do it. And he goes over there and he says, what do you think I am, a dog that you come out here with a stave like that? And he says, no, I'm coming in the name of the Lord God. David told us in Psalm 71, verse 16, I go in the strength of the Lord God. And he threw that rock right between the eyes. Knocked him down. Did David sit there and go, ha ha, woo-hoo, look over here. I can do all things because I am David. I'm bad. And I've been practicing with this rock for a long time. No. What did he do? The guy's down, but he's not dead. He ran over there and got that great big sword and whoop, took the head off and picked up that head and said, now. Now. And all praise and all glory and all honor go to God, because we know the little shepherd without any armor throwing one rock hitting Goliath was not enough. God had to do it. You're David. And you got a whole lot of strength and a whole lot of opportunity. And at some point in time, we're going to have to step out and throw that rock and let him do it. And then look back like Paul did and say, you know what? He's right. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. You know how to say, how do you know that? Because I stepped out and did something I know I couldn't do, and God made that happen. We got to get out of that mentality of, I'm going to just keep waiting on God to get this thing done. At some point in time, your hat goes in the ring. Amen? Let me ask you this. How about if you just sat around and said, you know what, I'm going to get saved one of these days. You're never going to get saved till you get on your knees and say to Jesus Christ, I receive you. Boom. And through his power, you're given the strength to become a new creature, and you are saved. Amen. So let's look at that thing, and look at that verse of Scripture, and walk in that verse of Scripture, and analyze your life right now and say, what is it that I know God wants me to do that I have not done? Because I've talked myself out of it? Because I made excuses? Because I didn't get going? Because I limited the scope, thought this wasn't for me? Wouldn't rely on the power of the Lord God? Kept trying to do it myself and failed. And get over that hurdle. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're thankful today for the opportunity to look in the Scripture and be very encouraged by your words. Father, as we turn to you now in prayer, I ask you to do something for us very, 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 very importantly. Please, with your Holy Spirit, move in our congregation now during this invitation and this afternoon, this evening, and in the weeks to come, showing us those all things. And showing us the truth of this Scripture as we step out by faith to do those things that you've given us to do. Raise up, Father, fishers of men who will put out the Bibles in their neighborhood. Raise up, Father, folks will work the booths and talk to people about Jesus Christ, and those who will invite their friends to come as lost people to hear the preaching of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Raise up more preachers, more missionaries. Get us past ourselves and into the thoughts of Jesus Christ. I ask you to do it in Jesus' name. Amen.